First, thank you, and let me acknowledge my my colleagues here who did all the real work. Rupesh Bomia from South Florida Water Management District is also part of our UF group. Paul Julian here, who you just heard from. Rex Ellis, who did a lot of the geostatistical wizardry for me. Of course, Ramesh Reddy and Odie Villapando are key elements in this. And what I wanted to do today is talk to you a little bit about just the spatial distribution of soil constituents in these STAs. And I added, of course, from my previous title, a whole other STA, so I'm going to ramp it up a little bit. I didn't want 3-4 to get left out. You know where we're talking about. I'm using the mouse. STA 2 and 3-4. So that's the location. You guys have seen some of that already. Thank you, Dr. Englert, for the introduction. So what I wanted to do was really set out to characterize the flock, and that's that really amorphous, non-settling material in our systems, the recently accreted soil, which we're calling the RAS, and that's kind of, a new term, maybe specific to the STAs, but that's something we coined when we were looking at these systems. And then the pre-STA soils, and, you know, we did the gamut, carbon, nitrogen, phosphorus, sulfur, calcium, and some other goodies. I'm just going to talk about phosphorus, because we've got 12 minutes. Not a lot of time, but so that's the element I'm gonna stick with. I wanted to investigate the spatial distribution of these soil biogeochemical characteristics in both the STAs and kind of compare them, and that way I can look at soil and nutrient accretion under different vegetation types. So as you've heard already, we have the SAV, or the submerged aquatics, and the EAV, the emergent aquatic vegetation types, and there's two different flowway orientations here. One is in series, and the other is in parallel. And so there's an opportunity to look at both of those systems and how they work. Okay, so quickly, the flock material, this is what gives most people a hard time working in the Everglades, and it's kind of ubiquitous all over the system. Our recently accreted soil, as you can see, that's in stark contrast to the pre-STA soil. So these soils below the recently accreted material were agricultural soils, highly compressed histosol, so bulk densities around 0.4, which is much higher than the more recent stuff. It's like 0.1 or less, and that's grams per centimeter cubed. So as we dive in, you'll notice that several of us have similar figures. We're all grabbing at the good maps, and this is cell 1, or flowway 1, and STA 2, using the pointer. Here we go. And I'm going to also look at cell 3 over here, but this is all an EAV, so emergent aquatic vegetation site. We took 55 cores here, and that was the basis of our evaluation. This is dominated by Typha domingensis and Caladium jamaicens, and very little Caladium, mostly Typha. You'll see Typha, Typha, Typha all the way across the slide. The dominant vegetation type here, with a little Pistia involved and maybe some Nymphaea in open water areas. And this is opposed to the SAV cells. This is cell 3. I think we took 61 cores here. You'll notice there's a block of EAV kind of mixed in here. Maybe some incomplete construction, but in general, most of these cells are SAV dominated. And they look something like this. There's a mixed bag of submerged aquatics, Potamogeton, Ceratophyllum, Hydrilla, Chara, and others. And the soils look very different, and you'll note on these cores, you can see maybe even a better representation of that flocculent material at the top, recently accreted soil here in the SAV, and then that dark surface down below is the pre-STA soil. So let's look at the patterns. What do we find? On the left, you'll notice those are dot maps. You'll see the very simple, ordinary kriging models on the right, and you'll see some artifacts from that modeling, but I wanted to give you an option to look at it either way, depending on your preference. And you'll see that in cell 1, the EAV cell, we see a large amount of or high concentration of phosphorus in the flocculent material, as opposed to cell 3. There's also gradation in both sites. You'll notice that there is enrichment at the inflows, moving southward to the outflow. Similarly, for the recently accreted soil, we see the same kind of trend across the board: higher inflows, lower outflows. Note as well, again, that the cell 1 is higher in total phosphorus concentration than cell 3. That's EAV versus SAV. In the pre-STA soil, things are pretty much generally similar. across the board. There's obviously some enrichment there, and that could be artifact from agricultural practice. It could be some migration of material due to the STAs. But the real interesting part comes when we look at it in a little bit different perspective in mass storage. So what I haven't shown you is depth of soil, you know, taking into consideration bulk density and all the fun stuff. If we look at this per se in mass storage per unit area, we notice that the dominance of phosphorus concentration in cell one flip-flops to cell three. So with respect to vegetation type, EAV is really storing much less material in terms of phosphorus than is the SAV. In the flock, similar trend in the soil. You'll notice that the gradations from inflow to outflow are a little more expressed in SAV. And then for the pre-STA soil, you'll see there's quite a bit of storage of phosphorus there. And the reason that those numbers are so elevated is that those are deep soils. So if we look at the profile, that may be 50 centimeters worth of compacted organic soil that represents that number. So the reason these are stark red and jumping out at us is that there's a tremendous amount of storage capacity there. Okay, so I'm breaking all the rules. Students, do not follow putting giant data slides up. But what I want to do is kind of bring your attention to something. First off, in terms of phosphorus, and this is mass storage, if we look at the numbers, mean values for grams of phosphorus per meter squared, you can see in cell one, the EAV, the first two layers that we're really interested in, 1.7 grams per meter squared. If we go down and look at SAV, 8.5 and 3.3 respectively, that's a big difference in phosphorus storage over the time period, 10 years I believe that this cell's been running, 10 or 14 years. And so part of the story there is starting to come out if we look over at calcium. Not a lot of calcium in the EAV soils. But as you get down to the bottom, I'm kind of leaving out this cell 3 EAV. Those are the small cells in the SAV cell that had emergence. If we look down here, you'll notice there's a tremendous difference in calcium. And a part of that comes from this whole precipitation reaction that occurs with the SAV. As Paul mentioned, there was a lot of oxygen produced in the SAV cells. Well, there's a lot of photosynthesis going on there, right? So there's a lot of CO2 uptake during the day, and the change in pH catalyzes the calcium carbonate precipitation. And what we think may be happening is a tremendous amount of either co-precipitation or actual grabbing of other constituents from the water column when this material precipitates out. And you notice how those cores looked a little white? That was that calcium carbonate material in there. Okay, so hustling through to cell 3-4, I added this in because Rupesh couldn't be here to give a talk. But as we saw in previous talks, this is cell 3-A right below cell 3-B. In this case, this is all EAV, emergent aquatic veg. Remember Typha? It's here still and dominant throughout that system. And you can see that intact core. You don't notice that bright calcium color that you saw in the SAV cells. Now, just below cell 3A is cell 3B, appropriately named, I guess. We looked at 60 cores here, and all of these cells, all of these squares, are open SAV habitat. And you'll notice there's a little band of emergent aquatics throughout that system on a little bit higher elevation areas. Okay, so what do we see? Well, you know, in those SAV areas, it's Naha squatopensis, Typha domingensis, and my personal favorite for all you grad students out there, because we've been there too, the Field minionensis, who does all the real work. Now, we couldn't do it without you guys, so we appreciate it. But we've all done it ourselves too. I guess it's part of the game. Now, when we look at the spatial distribution, we see that as water's coming in from the north, at the top of this figure, the EAV is grabbing a majority of the phosphorus, right? So the concentrations there are extremely high in comparison to the southern cell, which is SAV dominated. In the recently accreted soil, we see the same similar trends. Not major patterns, perhaps a north to south gradient, of course, from inflow to outflow. There's a line demarcating these two cells, and there's a redistribution of water coming across there in a small canal, shallow canal. And then the pre-STA soil we see is very similar as well. Not much going on there in terms of enrichment, perhaps a little bit down in the surface profile of those lower soils. Again, though, if we look at it from a perspective of distribution of mass storage, the grams per meter squared, you'll notice that the trend kind of pops out at you is this kind of gradient from inflow to outflow. And also notice that in this particular cell, this is flock, we have lower quantities of phosphorus stored here, and then it kind of bumps up again in SAV, and that's the take-home that we'll remember, is that SAV material is precipitating calcium carbonate. Lots of things are coming out with it. And so there is appreciable storage there. With the recently accreted soil, we see a similar type thing. Phosphorus is coming in from the top, lowering the water column phosphorus loading to the bottom cell, which makes a comparison a little bit difficult. But I want you to remember that process is going on, even though it's in series instead of parallel that we looked at the previous STAs. Now, with our pre-STA soil, it's pretty much high storage across the board, like we noticed with the others. Again, a busy slide, but let's look specifically at the storage here, and you'll notice that it's very similar in the surface soils and flock in cell 3A, that's the EAV, versus cell 3B, which is SAV, but the loading rates, which I don't have for you, I'm working on that part now, are diminished as we go downstream, and so that's an issue to take home. Also, the calcium story starts showing its face again. There's definitely tremendous calcium carbonate precipitation going on in the SAV cells. I think that's part of the big take home. So, some preliminary conclusions from STA2. Spatial trends in phosphorus indicate significant enrichment in flock, and that's proximate to inflows. All right, so that's coming in. It makes sense that our higher concentrations are up top. This is the flock is the dominant pool of that phosphorus, where that phosphorus is stored, and to a lesser extent that happens in the recently accreted soils. Enrichment of that flock in cell 1 is substantially higher and more extensive compared to cell 3. All right, and I didn't tell you this in the data slides, but approximately 50% of cell 1 area having TP content greater than 750. For those of you guys that are familiar with Everglades work, that's in excess of what we consider enrichment in the natural system at 500 milligrams per kilogram, so that's kind of a magic number. The recently accreted soil as a whole is lower in concentration than the flock directly above it. I think I made that clear. And then phosphorus storage, and what you don't see in this talk is also carbon, nitrogen, sulfur are typically higher in SAV in comparison to the emergent aquatic vegetation. I wish I had hours. We could go through all that data. There's a lot of information there in terms of spatial patterns in the other elements that I didn't show. But okay, so let's jump to 3-4, the highest P enrichment in flock is directly below inflow, so below inflow. So that's pretty much the system that we see, the trends that we'd expect. But EAV was observed to have a higher P enrichment than SAV in this comparison. So this is in series, right? So EAV gets it first before it makes it to the SAV cells. And so in this case, SAV is kind of serving as a polishing pond more so than we would expect. Gotta hurry up. Okay, so finally, SAV flock had higher percentage of TP as inorganic P. That's up to 55% in comparison to EAV flock. And so the role of calcium and potentially magnesium carbonates is interesting here. I think there's some co-precipitation or at least some entanglement as that material is made that's going on. And finally, the take-homes in these systems, occlusion of macroelements and metals with calcium carbonate is probably the high, giving us those high accretion rates. It's really hard to tell anything, the difference between the parallel versus the series, because the concentrations are dropping. But as we see, SAV is really a dominant phosphorus remover in this system. And so finally, I would say the take-home is optimizing the STA performance for phosphorus removal requires us to consider both vegetation-defined processes and flowway orientation.